Have you ever felt that the world was closing in on you? Have you ever felt that no matter what you did, no matter how much you tried and struggled to get ahead, or at least to keep your head above water, that it was hopeless? Have you ever looked around, watched as others seemed to get ahead, and yet nothing worked for you? Have you ever felt like the world was a cocktail dress and you were wearing a pair of trainers? You try to take care of your health, but you still get sick, while others do everything that the doctors tell them not to do and remain healthy. You work and save and try to get ahead, but the bills keep piling up, while your neighbour up the street lives like there's a party going on all the time and never seems to go without. You pray, spend time with your children and spouses, but things still get rough at home, while others ignore their families and things seem to work out for them. You work hard, but don't seem to get very far. You've prayed for that family member, for that friend, for that loved one, and yet you can't see anything happening in his or her life. Sometimes it seems no matter what you do or try, that all your cards seem to be stacked against you. Forget the light at the end of the tunnel. You can't even find the tunnel. Let me tell you right now that there's not one person alive that hasn't experienced frustration at one time or another. There isn't a person alive who hasn't known pain and discouragement before. But as with all of our problems in life, God can deal with them. God will give you help. He wants to give you hope for the future when there seems to be no hope in sight. Let me pray this morning. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of hope. And Lord, I just pray. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll just come this morning. Lord, that there'll just be a download from you this morning. Lord, that lives will be transformed. I pray that you'll use the words that I use to actually change people's hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A number of years ago, must be about 25, my mum felt in a hopeless situation. And I'm going to try and get through this without crying. All right? She felt that she got herself into a situation that she couldn't get out of. So much so that she tried to take her own life. I found her and called an ambulance. And she recovered. She had to go through the whole thing. And they said that she'd got some damage. They said that she'd made some damage to her heart that she would never recover from and that she wouldn't have long. She'd left me a note where she'd explained. She'd explained how hopeless she felt and that she would have loved to have come to church with me. But God had got other plans because she did recover. She did come to church. She gave her life to God. And God... and God turned her situation around. He gave her hope where there was no hope. So much so that she'd come to church on a Sunday. She'd buy two bags of... those fun size chocolates. And she would come to church and she would sit there and give sweets to all the kids. And the kids used to call her Grandma Chocolate. Whatever situation you find yourself in today, God can turn it around. And he can give you hope where there seems to be no hope. Zechariah 9, verse 12. Says, return to your fortress, you prisoner of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. So this morning, I want to talk about hope. Not a hope it'll be a nice day today. I say that every day, but it rains at the moment anyway. but the hope that comes from God. A hope that gives you reassurance, that reassurance from God. It gives you security that somehow cannot be explained. Only that you know it's like a fortress. It's like something that keeps you safe. Romans 15 verse 13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So where does hope come from? I believe that this type of hope only comes from God. It's not something that you can get from anywhere else. Psalm 39 verse 7. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My hope is in you. God is the source of this hope. And when we feel hopeless, it's God that we need to turn to. Ephesians 2:12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promise that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. It says in these verses that living without God is living without hope. We need God in our lives. We need the God that gives us hope. Because it is God who gives us hope. Hope is mentioned in 550 verses in the Bible. That shows me that hope is pretty important. It's important to each one of us. Proverbs 13:12. I'm not going to quote all 550, so don't worry. But I have got a lot of verses. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. It talks here about if we do not have hope, or if we defer hope, delay it, put it off, then it makes our heart sick. God wants to turn our lives into lives that are full of hope. Hebrews 6:19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Hope is an anchor. It's the thing that keeps us safe. It keeps us steady when all around is raging. It keeps us firm and safe. When it looks like we're drifting, hope is the anchor that pulls us back, that pulls us into the right place. So how do we get hope? By believing patiently. Hebrews 6 verses 11 to 20 says, our great desire is that you'll keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you'll not become spiritually dull or indifferent. Instead, you'll follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath on his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So, this hope, how do we get it? Well, we find it by the word. Romans 15:4, it says, such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us, And the scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. So how much hope is enough hope? We can never have enough hope because we serve a big God. In Ephesians 3:20, one of our favourite verses, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us." We need hope for every situation that we find ourselves in. So what does hope look like? When we live with hope in our lives, it gives us bold confidence. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold." That doesn't mean that we're arrogant. It means we live with the knowledge that our God is in control. No matter what we're going through, and we all go through stuff, we all have valleys that we face, and it's inevitable that these valleys come. They come to all of us. God doesn't want us to live in the valley without hope. There are 5 facts about valleys that you need to remember whenever you go through a tough time. The first one, valleys are inevitable. They're going to happen. So you might as well count on them. You have to either just come out, you've either just come out of a valley, or you're in one right now, or you're probably headed towards one. Valleys happen throughout life. After every mountaintop, there's a valley. Jesus was very, very realistic about it in John 16. He says, "In the world, you will have trouble." It's not a matter of if, it's when. It's going to happen. You're going to have difficulty, disappointment and discouragement in life, because that's just life. There'll be times of suffering, sorrow and sickness. There'll be times of frustration, failure, fatigue, tiredness. They're just going to happen. They're a normal part of life. Don't be surprised by it. The second thing, valleys are unpredictable. You can't plan them. You can't plan the time or predict when they're going to happen. They're unexpected and they just happen. They usually happen at the worst time, when you're unprepared, and usually when you just don't need them. Valleys come suddenly. They're unpredictable. Have you noticed how easily a good day can become a bad day? A phone call, a letter, a broken washing machine? Valleys just happen. Jeremiah 4 verse 20 says, "Disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment." It just happened. The third thing, valleys are impartial. No one is immune to them. No one is isolated from pain and sorrow. No one gets to skate through life problem free. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But it just doesn't happen. I remember someone once saying to me, "It must be so nice being married to Paul. A pastor." And I had to remind them that although I love being married to Paul, I do, most of the time, we don't float around the house singing songs and quoting scripture to each other. We live everyday normal lives, just like everyone else. And we have problems, just like everyone else. Everybody has problems, good people and bad people. Problems, trials, difficulties, disturbances, downtimes, depression. Doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means you're a person. It doesn't mean that you're an evil human being. It means you're a human being. The Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people. And sometimes bad things happen to good people. Valleys are impartial. They don't care how good or how bad you are. But one thing you can be sure is, the fourth thing, valleys are temporary. There is an end to them. Although sometimes when you're going through the valley, it doesn't seem like it. The valley is not something you stay in your entire life. It's something that you go through. It's a circumstance, a situation that has a season to it. When you're in a valley, you often think it's a dead end, but it's not. They don't come in your life and stay, they come and pass. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had suffer. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered grief in all kinds of trials. There are times when you're going to have tough times. Times we all have. We all have those times where it just feels tough. There are times when it's going to be rough. Life is tough sometimes. You'll get through it. You're going to have it, but it's only for a while. It doesn't last. It's a valley. And there's wonderful joy ahead. And the fifth thing, valleys can be purposeful. Very often, when we go through valleys, we come through having learnt something. We grow stronger. The valleys are not just a freak of nature. God very often wants to build your faith in the valleys of life. We all love to enjoy the mountaintops, but you don't always build faith on the mountaintops. You sometimes build faith in the valleys of life. When everything is going fine and great, you don't feel that you really need God. He's there and you know it. But when you come face to face with a dark valley, that can very often be the same time that you throw yourself on God and get on your knees. I remember when my Sam, left school and he went to work as a nursery nurse. He had a time where he walked away from God. And I'm going to try and get through this without crying as well. Not doing very well, am I? But he had a time where he walked away from God. Now, the same thing had happened with our middle son. He'd walked away from God. And I'd been really tough on him. It had been like, if we're at church, you're at church. I don't care whether you want to or not, you're coming. And I was really, really tough on him. Even so, he left home because he just didn't want that pressure to be put on him. Well, it looked like Sam was doing the same thing. And I thought, I can't do that again. I remember crying out to God, saying, Lord, I can't go through this again. But I knew I'd got to be different. I knew I couldn't do the tough thing. Didn't work last time. No good doing it this time. So the only thing I could think of to do was to pray. So what I used to do, every morning when I made his bed, I'd lay on top of his bed and I'd just cry out to God. Every single morning. And as you know, Sam's now in the back room. I've probably made him cry too. Sorry, Sam. But it was a valley that we were going through. But I knew and I had hope that God would bring him back, and he did. But in those valley times, faith can be strengthened. When you don't feel like serving, trust God. Praise God. That's when your faith is tested. Not always in the good times of life, but in the valleys. Sometimes a problem has a purpose. Even tiny little ones, the inconsequential ones, the things that seem more like an irritation, they too can have a purpose. God can teach you character. He wants to change you. He's always changing you. He wants to tweak you, as Paul says. Lamentations 3:18-20 says, "So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." But then it goes on to say, verse 21-26, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." I'm so glad that we have hope in God. A sure hope. That even when we go through tough times, he's firm. He keeps us secure. I know there's been times I've certainly felt as though I've been going through a tough time. But all the time, every single day, there was no doubt in my mind that God was there with me. A few scriptures became tangible in those times. James 4 verse 8 says, "Come close to God and he will come close to you." I found that to be true. God has been so close to me that I have felt his very presence in everything and every day. And that has meant so much for me being free from struggling, because I've had moments, and I'm sure I still will, and I'm sure you have, where we struggle. Matthew 5 verse 4 says, "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted." I can surely say this is a true statement. God has been my comfort when I've needed it. I know that no matter what I'm going through, I always know that whatever is going on in my life, I have to be in church and find great comfort being in corporate worship with the whole church. Lots of people, when the valleys come, they run away from church. I can stand here and say, from my experience, being in church is always the best thing to do. And it brings strength in that situation. God is a God of hope and wants to bring hope into your life every single day. No matter what you're going through, he can turn it around. Hope never disappoints, because God is a God of hope. When your hope is in God, you are basing your confident expectation for the future on the faithfulness of God. Look at Psalm 136. This is a textbook example, literally, of how hope for the future is maintained by remembering the past. The leader would say the first part, and the congregation would respond. Listen to the hope found in these lines. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. The sun to rule by the day. And the moon and stars to rule the night. Give thanks to him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He acted with a strong hand and powerful arm. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. He led Israel safely through. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. Give thanks to him who struck down mighty kings. He killed powerful kings. Sihon, king of Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance, a special possession to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. He gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. That's how they grabbed hold of hope. That's how they overcome despair. They remembered what God had done in the past. They were honest about the tragedy of the present, but they were hopeful about the promise of the future because their hope was in God. God is our hope. He's our security. He's our help in trouble. Psalm 112 verse 4 says, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate and righteous. No matter what we're going through, we're never alone. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. I believe God wants us to stand strong and remain constant. No matter what we're going through, to set our hearts on the promises of God. If all your heart knows is panic, that's the instruction your heart will give you, and you'll feel helpless and hopeless and powerless in the valley and troubled times. God wants us to remain faithful and diligent, to stand firm on his word, for his guidance and remembrance is always ready to help in time of trouble. So if you're feeling hopeless today, I believe that God wants to give you hope. He wants to turn your situation around. I believe that God wants to put hope into each one of our lives. I know that God can give you hope in hopeless situations. He's done it for me. I've seen him do it many times in my life. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Can we all stand? Lord, I just thank you that you are a God of hope. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what we're going through, and you know every situation in this room, you know the hurt, the pain, you know the people that are on the mountaintop, people that are in the valleys. But Lord, we just ask for an injection of hope into every single life this morning. Lord, that people will walk out this room with their heads held high because you have given them that hope. That hope, Lord, that only you can give. That hope that makes us bold and courageous, Lord. That hope that keeps us steady and keeps us firm in you. Lord, I just ask that you'll just download that hope into each one of our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. I just feel as though there's someone here, and I don't know who it is, but there's someone here, and you feel like you're in a really hopeless situation. And God's saying, there's no hopeless situations with me. You feel like there's no way through, but God's saying there is a way through. And you will find that hope. You will find that situation be turned around and you'll be full of joy. At the moment, it feels like you're in a place where all you need, all you want to do is weep. But God's going to turn that around, and you're going to be dancing with joy. Lord, I just thank you for that word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that joy will come, that dancing will come. In Jesus' name, amen.